Well, God is great. This year, we're going to talk about the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is Old Testament as well as New Testament. But I won't explain today what the day of the Lord is because it's a broad topic. But the day of the Lord at least is the millennial rule, the millennial reign of 1,000 years. But I believe it's wider than that. It's any time that God has something to say to Israel. So, are we involved? Yes, but directly it's related to Israel. So, the whole future between today and eternity, the whole future has to do not with us so much. It has to do with us because we're the main event. But it has to do with us as it relates to Israel. And the reason I say that is because the day of the Lord is a day of vengeance. It's a day of vengeance. It's a day of vengeance. God said, vengeance is mine. The reason he said that is because he knew if we did it, it would not be nice. In other words, God has mercy. God has justice. We just read that God's enthroned in righteousness, tzaddik in the Old Testament, and in justice, which is actually the word is judgment, which is only justice if it's tied to righteousness. So mishpat is judgment. That's the word. So he's enthroned in mishpat. He made judgments in the earth, and in this case, against Israel, because Israel is angry at God and has not kept up her end of the bargain, because Israel is under a law. You and I are not under a law. We're under the law of life in Christ Jesus, which has set us free from the law of sin and death. In other words, we're not subject to that. We can't sin, even though we do, and we then can't die, which we will, but you can't. And so I'll explain it. I've explained it before, but I'll explain it again. Because our righteousness is not something we do under a law, but it's something we believe that Jesus did because the Father obligated himself to send Jesus to be our righteousness. Therefore, we have faith in that. So therefore, we can't keep the law because it's already been kept for us. So it's only declared to us that you've already been paid for. You've already done what you need to do in Christ Jesus, because when Jesus died, you died. And when he rose, you rose. And when he reigns now, we're actually seated with Christ now in heavenly places, though we don't see it. We're not experiencing it, and we're not experiencing the full joy of it. It doth not yet appear, but that doesn't mean you are not already there with him, because wherever he is, you are. Because he took your life and paid the price to purchase you out of the agora, out of the marketplace, and therefore you are no longer part of this world in God's sight, in man's sight, even to your own perhaps. You're still here. Simul justus et peccator. That is the theme of the Reformation, which, by the way, this year is its 500th anniversary. But that Reformation teaching is that even though you're born again, and even though you're a Christian, and even though you're forgiven, and even though you're free from the law of sin and death, still you sin. But it's not counted. But what's counted is your faith as your righteousness. Your faith in his goodness is your goodness, is your measure. It's your standard is Jesus died for you, and he's the only one that lived a perfect life. Therefore, you perfectly pleased God, even though you didn't do it. It was done for you. It's a substitute. Somebody substituted that they knew that you couldn't pay the debt, so they paid it for you. And that's benevolence and mercy on God's part, is to love you while you were yet a sinner. Now you're not. just because you believed. And he counts that as righteousness because the father of faith, Abraham, many, many thousands of years ago, also came to that same conclusion, is that his goodness was, it says in the Bible, our goodness extendeth not to thee. In other words, you don't have enough goodness to satisfy God's requirement. You're not perfect. But Jesus is, and he did it for us. So the Jewish people are in trouble today because they're still under a law, trying their best to keep Torah, the law. But we don't have to. Why? Because Jesus already did it for us. And now he's working it in us, and he will perfect us. Chair 4, 5, and 6, as we've been teaching it. He will perfect us by the time he returns. And you're not going to see it, though, but you're already, it's already done because he said, the good work I began in you, I will surely complete. Now, if you then don't waver, if you stay believing and not laboring, if you stay that way, if you start to labor, you're going to become lukewarm. If you think some of it's up to me, I have to do a little bit, I have to at least cooperate. No, you don't have to do anything. You're listening to good news that God, before you asked him, before you were even interested in it, he already sent his son Jesus to be your righteousness, not just on Calvary. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus was laid down as the cornerstone of the church of God, which is the true worship that he requires, to worship him in spirit, the Holy Spirit, and in truth, Jesus is the truth. The only way you can worship him is after he came, you found out about it. But he actually is predicted, prophesied about in the Old Testament under the term HaMashiach, the Messiah. He is the Messiah of Israel that was promised to Abraham and his seed, capital S, Yeshua. So Jesus is the seed. We are the seed, the fruit of that seed. He's the tree of which we're the fruit, which we're the branches of that bears the fruit that comes from that seed. What he sowed, we reap. That he sowed, we reap. In other words, he sowed perfectly, we reap perfectly. So that's different. The Jewish people are in trouble yet, but thanks be unto God, because we are now being perfected, the Jewish people can see, and other people can see, our good works and glorify the Father in heaven, our Father, which art in heaven, that one. And so, because of that, the Jewish people are coming in individually, not as a nation. They're coming in by dribbles, and there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. There's more now than all 20 centuries combined just now in Israel, in the land of Israel. So Israel is never, even when God chastens Israel, even when he judges Israel, sends them into Assyria, then into Persia, and so on, God still won't utterly destroy them for Abraham's sake because he made a covenant, and God cannot lie. He has to keep covenant. He has kept covenant, and Jesus, Yeshua, his son, is evidence, is proof of that. And he came to fulfill then the promise of the Father that all Israel might be saved. In other words, true Israel. What would that be? Well, that would be if they were messianic. That would be that they were not only blood related to Abraham, but they would be spiritual sons and daughters. So there's no way that we are going to heaven without Israel. All Israel, meaning true Israel, meaning Israel by faith. Those are the true sons of Abraham. Keeping the law will never get you there. So even though they nod at the Western Wall, and even though they try very much to have their booth be perfect, and even though they go to the festivals, and even though they follow all the law punctiliously, it is absolutely worthless and in vain. It accomplishes zero, nothing. Man at his best state, man, flesh. Fleshly man, Jewish, doesn't matter. Hindu, Buddhist, doesn't matter. They're all the same because they're under a law. They're trying to behave. And the whole world believes in behavior except us. We believe in the behavior of Jesus eliminates our behavior because he did it perfectly and we didn't and we can't and we won't. So we cannot worship ourselves or glorify ourselves. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. So the whole book of Revelation, which I want to look at in detail, not today, but which I want to look at, can be summarized as the two main things. As Daniel said back in the 9th chapter, 27th verse, and also in earlier verses, but he said that there would be 70 Shavuos. 70 Shavuos. Say it, Shavua. So 77s, we say weeks, but it actually is because there's 7 days in a week. But it actually isn't saying weeks. It's just saying 70 times 70, which is 490. So 70, but we would call that, we wouldn't know what to call it because we didn't know that Shavua could be a year as well as a week or as well as a day. It could be a lot of things. But the Bible is very clear that what it is years. And so there will be 69 weeks of years or 70 altogether. Now, the first half of the week, I've already taught you this last week, the first 3.5 years of that 70th week, and then the second 3.5 years of that 70th week, the first half is already done by Jesus up until his crucifixion. Because the Messiah, it said in Daniel, is cut off in the middle of the week. So he only accomplished 3 years plus John the Baptist prior to him, 6 months older than him, began his ministry at 30 years old. Jesus began his ministry at 30 years old. So the first one to arrive there would be John the Baptist for 6 months, and then he was killed. And then Jesus took up the same message, repent for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here now. It's ready. I'm here. So for us, that's the day of the Lord, because he came. But for the Jewish people, they crucified him. But not all. Some did not participate in it. A lot of the multitude believed on Jesus, Yeshua. It was the leaders, mostly, that had him crucified and persuaded Pilate also to have him crucified, because the Jews were not allowed by Roman law to crucify anybody. Don't you see how convenient that is on God's part to have the Romans finally get there? We had the Egyptians and then the Assyrians and then the Persians and the Babylonians and the Greeks and all that. But finally, you have to get to the Romans because Jesus has to be crucified then, because only the Romans can do it. And they were reluctant. Pilate came out and said, I don't find a crime in him. He, anything worthy of death, he has not done. He's a little weird. He believes he's the Son of God, and I can't check that out because I don't do religion. I don't get into religion. We tolerate all kinds of religions, and this is a weird one, but, you know, I have no way of checking on it. My wife even came in and had a dream and so on and so forth, and that should have persuaded me, but you know what? I want to wash my hands of this whole thing. I don't want to get into it because religion cannot be subject to the justice of man. Religion can't be handled because true religion is in there, and true religion is religion of faith, the one we've just been talking about. And Jewish religion, the Jews actually were religia licita, Latin for. They were officially signed up with the state, and they were subordinate to the state, so they didn't kill him, even though they were involved in persuading Pontius Pilate to kill him. And Pontius Pilate did do it because he didn't want a riot on his hands. And he believed, what's one man compared with a whole Jewish nation rebelling against you? I'd lose my job with Tiberius. And so he went along with it and committed suicide shortly thereafter because he felt, wow, I always believed in Roman justice, but look what I just did. I'm the chief one that did it, actually. I gave my approval of it. So I know that I failed Roman justice. I believed in it, but now I'm disillusioned by my own actions. How many know that many people in political office start out pure, but they end up corrupted after a while. He was corrupted. He perverted justice. He perverted righteousness, and he killed the Son of God. But he washed his hands with it, so I don't know whether you want to blame him or not. That's something you have to decide for yourself. But the Jewish people were happy with him. They liked that because he went along with their program and went ahead. But actually, it was God's program. It's never man's program. Man's program will not happen. Never. Never. Actually, everything he did worked out great. As a matter of fact, he did it for you and me. He did it for the bride of Christ. That's us. Well, we're not the bride of Christ right now. We're betrothed to become the bride of Christ when he returns. And so right now, we're not the bride. Even though we're the bride spiritually, that is in our spirits by faith, we're not actually the bride because we haven't consummated the marriage. We haven't even gone to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So all of that is ahead, and I'm going to explain that all this year. Sort it all out, which comes first, and where it is, and when it is, and how it is, and where, you know, who did it, and how they did it, and so on. The who, and the how, and the what, and the why, and the when, and the where. Those are the six things you always have to ask if you're going to do something, some project, some proposal. You always have to answer all those questions if you're going to be thorough. And so I will do that. We'll answer all those who, what, when, how, why, and so on. Because that clarifies then and shows that many of the interpretations of the book of Revelation are false. They got the who right, but they got the how wrong. Or they got the, you know, the, for example, the where. Are we on earth or are we in the heavens? Well, if you mess that up, it's make a big difference because other scriptures won't fit in there. So who is on the earth? Who is there? You know, who's on first? You know, we don't know until we know. And so I want to clarify all that. Why? Why and now? Why haven't I done it over the years? Well, because I haven't. Because the time was not ripe. The time was not ready for ears to hear and eyes to see spiritual truths in such a way, because many people have been spoiled by talks of rapture. And now do we, is the rapture pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, and so on and so forth, and so on? Well, no, it's pre-wrath. And so you're not going to be with the Lord until the wrath falls not on you. The wrath falls on people that are wicked or unrepentant about their sins. Anyone could be a sinner and repent, and then they would be righteous. That's all they have to do is be righteous by believing that after I sin, God will forgive me. So how many here, don't raise your hand, how many here have not sinned, are already perfect? You know, you would have to say it by faith, because in fact, everybody here has fallen short, sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But because everybody here is a believer, I hope you are. If you're not, you come forward after the service and we can take care of that. But if you're a believer, you're already a new creation. We're not even part of this creation. We're not even part of any judgment. We're not part of it. We've already settled that. That's been settled in the past when Jesus died and he said to the Jewish people who are listening to him, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. I'm their hope. I'm their salvation. So if I could do this real simply, just make a simple statement before I begin the scripture in Isaiah, because it all comes out of about Israel. It all comes out of the Old Testament. Okay, I said to you back in the Persian Empire, 457 B.C., 457 B.C. And then up here, 4 B.C., when Jesus is born, 4 B.C., Jesus is born. And then 26 A.D., when John the Baptist was 30. And then 27 A.D., 6 months later, when Jesus started his ministry. And then 3.5 years after the 26 and the 27, 3.5 years of ministry, he's crucified, 30 A.D., but then he also resurrects that year, that we also teaches the followers that he had about the kingdom for 40 days after his resurrection. But then he also ascends into heaven 10 days later, and at Pentecost, which is still in 30, that's the day the church is born. And so the church is born all in that Pentecost cost. All of this is far, it's a really powerful time. And Jesus here, we make a cross here when he dies. This 3.5 years right here, 30 AD, right there. This one forms the first 3.5 years. So I'm going to write here 3.5 years, but I'm going to say it 1260 days, because 3.5 could mean many things, but 1260 days is always the same. So then you have 2,000 years of church history, the seven churches which we'll read about, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, and so on and so forth. All those is about 2,000 years at least up until our own day, but we're even past that. So we're also looking forward to the next 3.5 years, and that will start, we don't know. We don't know when, because this is ambiguous, but we know one thing, it's after the 2,000. So somewhere in this, we're going to have the Antichrist. This was Christ all here. All of this was when Christ was crucified and Christ rose and Christ reigns and so on. And now he's judging his church. Remember, there were seven churches with seven, they each have seven lampstands, that is, lights on each one. During that period, he just picks out sin. And remember, Smyrna, no sin is mentioned, that's the second church, because they were being persecuted. And when you're suffering, if you're suffering as a Christian, you're not sinning. So when you're in trouble, you tend, we all tend, to be close to the Lord. When we're in trouble, like, hey, God, I'm not God, definitely. Could you help me in this trouble, in this problem? So he points out the sins that would make us not miss heaven, but that would make us make other people miss heaven, because we're not hot. We're not burning hot, and so they don't see our light. And that's the purpose of a lampstand, is to give off light. So those are 2,000 years of church ages, seven of them. And we're in Laodicea, and it's not over yet. So right here, let's say this is Laodicea, the last one, the seventh one. But the one that prior to us was 1517, it began and went on to 1836, right there. Now, that one was the time of the Philadelphia church, and there's no sin in that church. And that's going to be what we are. We today, who are not foolish virgins, just living through lukewarm, we today, before this 3.5 year period of the Antichrist, here's the Christ. So here's these 1260, 3.5 year. This one is the Antichrist. Anti means a substitute for someone saying, I'm the Christ. He's not coming back. He said he would, but that's not true. So this 1260 is the final now 70th week of, in other words, it's, and see, this is difficult, and this is why you can't do it literally, because this one is on this side over here. Jesus fulfills the first half of the week, and then there's this big gap in there of the church age. So here's the church age, and even though we're righteous by faith, we're not righteous in fact. In other words, it's not perfect yet, and we haven't yet perfected. So we're born again. Yes, but some of them will fall away or not be ready when he comes. And he won't come until this moment right here, after the Antichrist has done all of that he's going to do. So this is when the whore is thrown off, the whore of Babylon. This is when the false prophet and the beast, the Antichrist himself, this is Antichrist, beast, same thing. And that's a false prophet. And this is when Satan also will have failed to rebuild the Tower of Babel. Because the only goal for Satan is to finish that Tower of Babel, which is built on shifting sand of humanism, man at his best state. In other words, the religion that Baal wants for us, the religion that Nimrod wanted for us, the religion that Satan wants is do what God says, but do it our way. Don't do it the way God says. Don't fear God. Don't take God so seriously, because he wanted to destroy the gospel by attacking the law. So what God intended was what Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, Satan and his Tower of Babel business, which he's repeated over and over again in every generation. There's at least been seven emperors since the beginning of the world. Only. And the eighth, the beast himself, the Antichrist, the eighth is actually then just one of those, only it's the eighth, like it. So 666, because that's Rome, Rome, Rome in the end. I'll explain this all later. But now you can see that the millennium comes after this when Jesus comes back, and now you have a reign of righteousness forever and ever, 1,000 years. And so that third 1,000 years is a third day. He has to come back on that day. But we don't know when. But I'll guarantee you it's early. So it could be soon. For example, today is 2017. Did you know that when Israel became a nation, if you add 70 years to it, it comes up to that? So, but here's another interesting thing. When Israel became a nation, if you have a jubilee of 50 years, it's the 67 war. So it's an interesting time. I'm not teaching that. I'm just simply pointing out what people have guessed, have said. I'm not teaching it because I don't know that it's going to be that at all. So all of those guesses I would not do. I will not do. I think it's going to be, no. So the point is, it's fun to do that and try to guess because of logic or because of your reason. You have to realize Jesus said, no man knoweth. So man can't know. So therefore, you can't know. You can know the season, but you can't know the day or the hour. So don't do that. Just leave it alone. So it's right now, get ready time. The bride hath made herself ready. This is the time for you and I who are already perfected by Jesus' perfect righteousness. We need then to also help others to get in, because that's our mission. That's our purpose. That's why we're here. Otherwise, he'd get you born again and take you home. But you're here to be the light and the salt. No one else can do this. The Jewish people cannot do this. The Muslims cannot do this. The Hindus, all of their temples and towers will fail. Ours is the only one that will prevail. I will build my church, and you don't even do it. You're the building that he's building. I will build my church. He's talking about us. I will build my church. Unless the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor and faint, we can't build the church. Jesus can build it because we're it. Or her. In this case, it's a her. So it's female, feminine, because it's opposite to the whore. This is the bride who keeps herself pure and spotless. This is not true of the lukewarm church. The lukewarm church is born again, but it's not filled with the Holy Spirit daily. You have to be not only born of the Spirit, but daily filled with the Spirit, and then led of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit. If you're filled with something, you're emptied of something. If I had a glass here and it had water in it, because I have one back there, then the water would be gone if I filled it with air or I filled it with something else. Then you'd have to get rid of the water. So you have to be emptied, not in your spirit, because your spirit is already full of Jesus, But that would be a foolish virgin if you stopped there and said, my heart is right, so everything's over. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Because if you don't go on in the Lord, He won't defend you. And you will have no resistance against the storms, against the tribulation, against anything. So, therefore, forget their destiny, where they're going and how they fit in. They may be Christians, but they were not ready when He came for the marriage supper. And so He closed the door on them and said, depart from me, you evildoers, I don't know you. Not as Lord. If you had said, Savior, yeah, I could have forgiven you. But you misspoke. You called me Lord. How can you call me Lord if you don't do what I say? Lords don't save. Lords command, because they're lords. And your relationship to that Lord must be love, full devotion, complete, total. If not, then the Lord didn't build the house, because the Lord does everything perfectly. So therefore, He doesn't want you just to love God by believing on Him. He wants you to also love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Those are the things that God wants. Now, let me skip all that, because we're going to spend the whole year on all of those items. But this is the big picture, is those two sides there is what we're in right now, all before the millennium, the day of the Lord. But whether they're part of the day of the Lord or not, I leave. We'll discuss that another time, about how extensive is the way of the Lord. Was it when He was born? Was it prior to that even? I'll tell you this, it is that at least the millennium, because then He has judged the beast, judged the false prophet. They're already in the lake of fire. And they already are destined for the second death. And so they have no hope. But Satan is bound during that time, and therefore he's chained up, thrown into the pit, a bottomless pit, for 1,000 years. So while they're burning and tormented, the beast and the false prophet, one of the reasons is they threw off the harlot. They decided they could do it without the religious harlot, the Whore of Babylon, even though she gave them the power to become kings. If you're a government and you don't have some religious power legitimizing yourself, then they will be against you. And so that's why atheists haven't done well in trying to produce either the French Revolution or the Russian Revolution or whatever. I tell you, even there you can get a harvest, because they realize it doesn't work. You have to have some legitimacy. And so the harlot gave them the legitimacy. In the French Revolution, it was the goddess of reason. How many know that reason is a human trait? We all have that. But reason isn't a tall enough ladder to get you to heaven. It is just simply reason, and reason always ends up irrational. In other words, reason always becomes unreason. In other words, they become emotional. In other words, they cannot ever stay reasonable. So they have reasons against reasons. Crazy. If you have reasons against reasons, I love Peggy. No, I don't love Peggy. That's irrational. You either do or you don't. You're either pregnant or you're not. It's either, you know, this way or it's not. You're either born again or you're not. And so if you're a Christian, you can't be tied to reason or emotion or desire or behavior. All of those are foolish and vain and empty, and God rejects them all. Even though God gave you your mind, you have to use it the way He designed it. Even though God gave you emotions, you have to use them the way He wants you to use them. Otherwise, they'll reign without you. They'll dominate your reason. Some people are irrational because they're emotional. Others, because they're full of desire, and they have to justify it somehow, so they use the reason to justify my desire. And so I'll say, God wanted me to do that, even though he didn't. And so people are mixed up psychologically today. And many people are depressed because it's hard to pull it off. Why? Because it's not God's way. And only God's way works. Only the way of the Lord will work. Poor Israel. Israel is still trying to please God through keeping the law. And it's not going to work. Now, let's turn to Isaiah, first chapter. Hear the word of the Lord. All right. Verse 21. How is the faithful city become an harlot? How is the faithful city? What's the faithful city? Jerusalem. So how is Jerusalem, which used to be faithful to me, and they were my light, they were my good news to the world, they were the hope, but now they've become a harlot. So how can they now be like Babylon? How can they fall? And at this very moment, Nebuchadnezzar's troops are surrounding the city to burn it to the ground and to slay every inhabitant in that city. It sounds like what you see in the news today. We will not rest till every Jew is crucified, cast into the sea, until every Christian who backs them up is crucified the same. Okay? So that spirit has not left the earth. We do not yet have peace on earth. Even though when Jesus was born, the angels said, peace on earth, goodwill to men. It's never happened from the foundation of the world till today. Till today, there's no peace on earth. Why? Because peace is not among men. Peace on earth is between God and his creation. Men have a problem with God and keeping it. Not just the law that Moses gave, which is nothing more than be like God. But it doesn't explain how. It doesn't say, how can you please God? What can you do to please God? Well, it says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and so on. Okay, it says it, but who's done it? Who actually knows how to do that? You have to do it by faith, not by works. And so the big confusion then for Israel, they failed, and God's speaking to them not as faithful people. He's saying that. You were full of faith. But now you've become works people, and you're not doing the works you said you would do. You're the ones that said, we will do it, and you haven't done it. And not only that, not only have you sinned against me, not only have you forsaken me, you don't even come to me and say, I'm sorry. Worse. You actually justify yourselves. Worse. You actually accuse me. Do you hear what I just said? There's four weird things that Israel has done to this day. Still today, an Orthodox Jew feels, you know, hey, we're still the chosen people. And we do the best we can. Show me the scripture for do the best you can. Just do the best you can. That'll be good enough for me. God's is be ye perfect as I am perfect. Be ye holy exactly in the same way I am, and love your neighbor exactly as you loved yourself. Well, nobody's ever done that. How many Christians have done that? How many Christians? Well, let's say just this church. Skip all the other churches. Let's say in this church, how many have perfectly done that? You've loved God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself. How many? You're not raising your hands. By faith. You have done it. Faith is a real thing. It's substance. It's the substance of things hoped for. You don't have to wait to see it hoping. You have it right now by faith, and that's the way God sees you. So you're a new creation. You don't even belong to this creation. You're not man at his best state. You are perfect. You're not just man at his best state. That's humanism trying to build the Tower of Babel. You don't have to build anything because you're the building that God is building and he's the foundation. That is, he's the cornerstone of the foundation. The apostles and prophets are the foundation of that cornerstone. And since he's a living stone, they're living stones. And since you're the building that he's building on that foundation, on that cornerstone, connected to it, you also have a direct relationship to the cornerstone, Jesus. Why? Because it's spiritual. It's a living stone. It's not a rock. This is a living stone where every brick and every window and all the rafters and everything is being built by God perfectly to be a temple of the Holy Ghost. So you now are the dwelling place of God on earth, as it is in heaven. So it's easy now, because the Lord himself lives in you and is united to you by faith, even though it's not in your soul yet, even though it's not in your body yet, even though every day you have to start again, even though you haven't been perfected yet in love, perfected yet in beauty, perfected yet, your faith has to be active in love when he comes back so that you're actually doing it. That hasn't yet happened in anybody. Nobody has that. And it won't happen until the trumpet sounds. When the trumpet sounds, you'll be perfected in that instance. When it says, the Lord has come, wow, then you know, that's it. That's why the millennium then can start. But we'll talk about that later. Now, listen carefully then to this, because this all comes out of the Old Testament, whether it's Daniel or Ezekiel or Isaiah, wherever it is, it's all there about the day of the Lord. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it, but now murderers. Remember his throne? Paul sang that today. His throne, we are enthroned at, because Jesus sits on that throne in righteousness. Tzaddik. Say it. T-S. Tzaddik. Tzaddik. Okay, tzaddik is a holy word. It doesn't mean righteous like man. It means righteous like God. So, and the word for justice is not justice. It's mishpat. So when it says God's judgment is just, it means it's holy. It's righteous. It's true. So the judgment, mishpat, is tzaddik. So mishpat tzaddik is justice. So if you put the two together, it's perfect. So that is now on earth through us, because you are perfectly related to God by faith. But that faith, since you're perfectly related and he's still working, he's still alive, he's still acting right now, perfecting you so that you're perfected in love, perfected in grace, perfected in glory, so that others may come, because they're not by faith, they're by works, they're natural. They're cold, they're lukewarm, whatever they are. They need to have someone convict them of sin, because that's what Jesus is doing for the 2,000 years of which we're still a part. The 2,000 is up, but we're already in the third day, but it isn't yet time for the Antichrist to announce himself. The minute he announces himself, then you'll know it's begun. We're very close. This election almost looked like it to me. I'm just saying. The election looked like we're going down the wrong path. We're going the wrong way. Even Texas will be dragged along with it. I told you that Soros spent, you know, a lot of money to destroy the sheriffs, the DAs, the local judges, and in Houston, $500,000 he spent. He actually removed all Republican judges. If you take Texas and make it blue instead of red, you got the whole forever. They'd never recover. There'd be no way you could recover. So that was the goal, and that would mean God is out. That would mean morals are out. That would mean justice is out. They just do as they will. It's capricious. It's lawless. Everything in the Bible they were doing, homosexuality, all this nonsense, it's not at all what the founders intended when they created our nation. But God in his mercy, God in his benevolence, God in his power gave us a victory. I can't even to this day believe that it happened. And that doesn't mean Trump is Jesus or something. He's not. He is far from it. His texts prove that. His Twitter, whatever he does. I don't know all those things. I know one thing. I like him. But he's not perfect. That's why I like him, because he knows he's not perfect. He is naughty. He's naughty. And he could goof up. So he really needs the church to be for him And he's cultivated that deliberately. He's a genuine believer in the sense that he's an immature believer. He is not mature. But hey, God can use anybody. If he can use me, Roger, there's hope for you. It's hope for you. He can use anybody at any time. The enemy doesn't stop him. Did you know that the devil belongs to God? It's one of his creatures. If he wanted to get rid of him, he just go like that and he's gone. So he keeps everything there to pick up the debris. He's kind of like a vacuum cleaner. You have dirt. So anybody who is not going all the way, they belong to the devil. And the devil claims them. Hey, one of mine. Hey, that's one of mine. That was a hypocrite one. That was one of mine. And so God allows it. God will not defend a church that is not holy, righteous, by faith. By faith. Because that's the only way you can do it. You cannot do it by works. That way he has rejected. Now listen here to what's wrong with the Israel. But this is actually Judah. The northern tribes during the Assyrian conquest, the northern tribes are already gone, 10 of them. But the ones that are left are Judah and Benjamin, but they're not learning their lesson. How is the faithful city now become an harlot? It was full of judgment. It was full of justice, in other words, and righteousness, that is church and state, lodged in it. But now you have become murderers. Your silver has become dross. Your wine is mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious. They're the companions of thieves, which is happening all the time. Everyone loves gifts, bribes, following after rewards. In other words, selfish. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come to them. Therefore, says the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, ah, I will ease me of mine adversaries. In other words, my own people are my enemies. They're mad at me. They don't like the way I'm pointing out their sins, and they never repent. And avenge me of mine enemies. I'm going to do it. And I will turn my hand upon you, Judah, and purge purely away your dross. And I'll take away all your tin. And I will restore your judges as at the first. Remember, before there were kings, there were judges. And thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness. This is during the millennium. The faithful city. You'll be full of faith again. Zion, the mountain, shall be redeemed with judgments. Mishpatim. And her converts with righteousness. Tzaddik. In other words, it'll be a just order. So here's the just order. Real simple. Four things. God will be in the highest heaven with all his angels. Jesus will be in the first heaven with us, his bride. David, that is somebody from Israel, a king after the line of David, on the earth ruling, they'll be over all the way to the Euphrates River, all up to Damascus, all the way down into Egypt. All of that is the promised land that Abraham was promised. They'll have it all back. And all of those nations, there'll be a highway between Egypt through Israel to Damascus, and from Damascus all the way through Israel, and all worshiping one God. Wow. Why? Because we will represent that God who is in the highest heaven through us in the lowest heaven over the earth, and Israel will be on the earth, and this is then the Gentile nations will begin under Israel. Everything is in order. Now the Gentiles are suppressed by Israel, who is keeping the law, by us, who is making sure equity is done and mercy, by God the Father, who is setting everything in the way he originally intended when he made the whole world and then created mankind to rule on it. Never happened. Now it will be in order. This was the first time in history then, ever, still time, not yet eternity. During the millennium, 1,000 years, you'll have that faithful city, Jerusalem, will be faithful. That was the third one down on the totem pole. That power, that order, that logic is why I do what I do. Because I believe in that, and I not only that, I believe it's something that we don't have to wait for the millennium to do. We can premillennially already have just government on earth to a degree. It's not going to be perfect, but it's to a degree. In other words, the question is this. Should we just abandon it because it can't be perfect, or should we do as much as possible to live that way ourselves so that we influence the world? That's what our founders thought in Texas, in the United States, when America was first created. We're not creating heaven. What we're creating is a world in which worldly people, not all believers, mixed all together, can live in harmony and peace to the best that we can do, knowing it doesn't get you to heaven. But nevertheless, we will make sure that religious freedom, not religion, but religious freedom is allowed to every man, so that at least the Christians will not be persecuted during this time. They have a refuge. And they might influence us, because you cannot build a just government without at least that truth and that light influencing you. Name one country, one nation ever in the history of the world that had just government. There isn't any. So at least we can make a stab at it, which would allow the church then to finish the real job, which is to perfect people in Christ Jesus by teaching their gospel of love. Did you know that in the Texas, this is not true of any other state, Texas actually excluded ministers of the gospel in the Constitution from being like others. They had a special category for them because they had a high position to make sure that the government stayed just as the foundation of that government. So the righteousness would then produce the justice, which would then produce peace on earth, which would then produce a good economy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. As much as you could do, they believe that's the way to go, to be a light to the world, for that the whole world could see how we did it as far as we went, and then accept Yeshua as their Messiah, accept Jesus as the Savior of the world. So they built a government that would not stop Christians from following God. Today, we don't have that. Today, the church has to be 501c3 federally. It has to have a local tax exemption on its church, or have to pay a tax. And it has to be, first of all, a creature of the state by incorporating into this world. And you'd have to have a charter. You'd have to become a legal entity. Jesus would not be the Lord of your church. The government now would dictate in certain areas, like property. They would be the ones that over your church property or over the practical affairs of the church. Well, we don't have any. Everything that we do is a worship to God. Everything that we do is holy. Everything that we do is spiritual. Everything that we do is eternal. Nothing that we do is what we do. It's all what God's wills, what God wants, what God does. We're not the doer. We're not the wanter. He is in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So here you had something in Texas that they don't have in the Utah. They don't have it in Michigan. They don't have it anywhere else. They could have had it, but they couldn't sustain it. They couldn't keep it up. But in here in Texas, it's still possible. It's hard. It's almost impossible, but it's possible. And I believe God has called me to be part of that, is to make sure the church here is under Jesus Christ and not under the government. So I don't want to die until that happens. I don't want anything written on any tombstone. I'm just saying, I don't care even if anybody knows who does it. I just want to see that, because I don't want Jesus asking me, Jim, how come you didn't say anything? Did punish me if I did? Nope, it's not a good answer. So you have to say, you sinned. You deliberately sinned. You feared man more than you feared me. So you should have at least tried and suffered and failed trying with all everything you had. You didn't do it. So you're not really one of my ministers. I actually believe that. So I actually believe I should do it. I don't believe that I'll win. I don't believe I'll be successful. I don't have any idea. I'm just doing what he said. And so I believe the best days are ahead of us. And did you know what? This religious liberty thing has become everybody's talking now. Yeah. Everybody. Yeah. Trump, everybody. Everybody is now saying we need to do it, and they don't have the answer. They don't know how to do it. They don't know the how. But now it's suddenly become important. Why? Because the whole world can't answer any of their political, economic, or social problems and religious problems. They have problems everywhere because they don't know the Lord's pattern. They don't know how the millennial kingdom works, so they can't figure out how their temporal kingdom should work right now. Because we don't have to save everybody. That's God's problem. That's God's bailiwick. But what we do have to do is be a good testimony to the world. You know why? Because we're salt. You're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Nobody else is. So you can't say, well, we don't owe them anything. We'll pray for them. No, you can't just pray for them. It's not a matter of just being here and having a good time. It's a matter of worshiping God with all your heart and soul and your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because your neighbor is depending on your light and your salt. That is God, because Christ is in you. He's the light. But because he's in you and because he's intimately in you, you owe out of an act of love. So for me, the economic, political, and social realms and religious are all part of our love. They have nothing to do with our doctrine, meaning how we get saved. They have everything to do because they're not fighting our doctrine. What they're fighting is our morals. What they're fighting is to try to beat us on that level. The homosexual agenda is to absolutely say, you're committing a hate crime because you hate us. They don't care if they're right or wrong. They just want to attack us. Why? Because that's the Antichrist spirit. The Antichrist spirit is anything. It's not anti-Semitic. It's anti-Christian. It's because we're the ones that have the hope. And even the Jewish people know that. They know that their law-keeping ain't working. Even the Orthodox know it. No matter how well that they nod at the wall and attend the synagogue and, you know, have young people at 12 years old do bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah and so on. I don't care what they do. They know it's not producing heaven on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. So we Christians should be not only doing spiritual things that's based on our doctrine, but also loving things that cares for all men. You're supposed to be praying for your enemies. I prayed for Hillary. I do pray for Hillary and Obama and all of them. But I hate what they do, but I pray for their salvation. I pray that they'll find Yeshua. The way they're going, I would not be able to do it because you'd be persecuted. You'd be hated and stopped. So everybody has to decide for themselves. And I don't care how anybody else decides. For me, as I read this scripture, this is exciting because Jesus said, I'll build my church. And so all I want is, you know, I want to be part of that. I want to enter into your finished work. I want to do it now. I don't want to wait for the millennium and then I hear you say, well, Jim, you didn't do everything that light does and salt does. Okay. Even if I'm in the flesh. Let's say I'm in the flesh. Okay, fine. But I think Jesus is not going to hate me because I did that. What it is, I believe I heard God. But it doesn't matter. It's not anybody's decision. It's mine. Is I believe that the best is yet to come. I believe that God doesn't want to see just government go away because it's his program. I don't think he wants it to go in hiding until the Antichrist is done. I'm not going to go in hiding. I don't want to be one of the two witnesses that I don't want to be. But if I am, fine. I'll do it. And I'll do it joyously. But what I do want to be is faithful. Because that's the problem with Israel. Israel feared not God. They didn't even come to him and say, we're sorry. They didn't do anything. They actually joined the Baalists. They joined the Tower of Babel people because they were trying to build the house without God. You can't do it. So this year is totally explaining why what's written out there or what's preached out there or what's taught out there, I believe, is inaccurate because they haven't answered the what and the why and the how and the who and the where and the when, which you have to do. If you're going to treat of anything, you have to address all those things. And so by sorting everything out, time-wise, space-wise, in every way, that's a powerful thing. Now, it's up to you then to do something with that. If you do, fine. If you don't, fine. Because I believe there is an audience out there. In other words, I believe there are people that haven't, they do not know how as a Christian to be a president. They do not know how as a businessman to be incorruptible. They do not know how to do it. And they're Christians. I have businessmen coming to me constantly and saying, I am not a businessman first. I'm a Christian, but I don't know how to do it. And I want to commit to you that I do it right. I don't know if I'm supposed to tithe to the church or what. I just don't know anything. And so there are people out there that are good at what they do, but they want to please God. They want to serve God. And so everyone here, I hope there's no sin in this room. Hope there's none. If it is, just like temporary. But you are able to confess every day, we're like Israel, but we're not going to be like him. Because even though they sinned and we sinned, I want to confess my sin and I want to be changed by the Holy Ghost. I want that glass every day to be emptied and filled by the Holy Spirit. I want to do just exactly what Jesus wants me to do. And all of us have different callings. All of us are in different places. All of us, but some things are common, and that is what's written in this book. Everything written in this book of Revelation applies to us. And so, therefore, let us do all that is summed up from the whole Bible, Old and New Testament, everything that Jesus came to do. It's powerful. If you don't know the whole Bible, the book of Revelation cannot be understood. If you don't know all of Daniel, if you don't know all of Ezekiel, Ezekiel's temple is the temple during the millennium. But it's spiritual. So you have to understand it in spiritual terms. It's powerful. I say to you, this is the best day to be alive. We are here just before the Lord returns to set up his kingdom, and he's going to ask us, you know, how'd you do? Of course, he knows. And so just give you a chance to give a reason for the hope that's in you. To say, Lord, you know, I didn't know what to do, but I've been studying your word. That's good. I've been praising you. That's good. I've been loving some of my neighbors. I don't like all my neighbors. That's not good. So it's my job to make sure everyone makes it and that you didn't do anything to accomplish anything when everything's been done. Just enter in to his finished work. No labor, no sweat. No reason, no morals. He doesn't want you to be moral. He doesn't want you to be good. He wants you to be spirit-led, not reason-led. Morals always is tied to reason. You can't do it. That ladder will not get you there. You have to disavow that. Even though God gave you a reason, you have to take it captive. Let every thought be captive to the Word of God. You have emotions, submit them to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Lord, I was about to get angry. Is that okay? No. Okay. Could you show me a better way to do it? And so God wants each of you. Now, have I touched anybody today who could respond right now on the spot and say, you know what? I don't know what you're going to say from now on, but I want to do everything God wants me to do. And I don't want to work in vain. I want to work in a way that really, I hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to enter into his joy, the master's joy, during the millennium. Because that's the next thing that's going to come, is you're going to have 3.5 years of the Antichrist, 1,260 days, and then you're going to have 1,000 years when we reign and rule over the whole earth. The earth will still be here. The wicked will still be here. The Gentiles will still be here. They'll be subdued because we're reigning in the order that I showed. But they still, after the 1,000-year millennium, the devil will be loosed. The other two guys are still in the lake of fire. But then he will just last an hour, 1 hour, and then he's over. He'll come to us in the mid-heavens, where we are somewhere above the earth, and he will then surround us with his troops. He already deceived the nations into believing, come on, we can still build the Tower of Babel. Let's have one last chance at it. let's go and destroy Jesus and his saints in their camp. And they surround us, just like Babylon is being surrounded right now. They surround us, and then all of a sudden they're gone, because God breathes fire from the highest heaven down on them, and they're all wiped out. And they're like, I quit. And after that, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because here's why he's Lord. Because he's our Lord, and we're all holy, and they never met people like that. They never met people that actually are holy people. They thought you can never produce a Christian that'll be mature. You'll never get perfected people. Oh, yes, he will. Because when Jesus comes back, his bride will be without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, without stain, without anything to hinder the Lord from acting and showing himself, manifesting himself through the sons of God. That'll be powerful. Now, the fact that we don't know everything that's in the Bible, even though we read it, is that I want you to actually understand everything that's from here to eternity. When then it's a new heaven and a new earth, that's another whole subject. So all of that you needed to sort out so you know what's coming next and what you'll be doing now. All right. God is great. Amen. David Cooper, say a prayer.